The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome to Raider Nation Podcast. I am not your host, Raider Greg. Greg is, well, he told me he hasn't felt this sick in years, so he's not able to do the show this week. This is Greg's partner, Randy. I hate hearing my recorded voice, so I'm going to keep this short. I'll throw the bone line calls on. I might add a couple of things that I saw online that I thought were interesting. And that'll be it. Greg will be back next week. And here's Greg giving you happy Thanksgiving wishes from our first year doing the show in 2005.
Good morning, Raider fans, and welcome to the Raider Nation Podcast. Before I get to the show, I'd like to give some shouts out to Randy Olson, who has been the backbone of the Raider Nation Podcast. He is responsible for all the content on the site. I just want to thank you, Randy. You are truly awesome and a good friend. He sits right next to me at the games. We're out there every Sunday. Raider Nation here would also like to thank all the fans for listening and wish everyone in the Raider Nation a happy Thanksgiving, and be safe out there, and God bless all of you and your families.
Okay, here's an interesting audio clip I ran across on a YouTube short. A lot of you guys have probably already heard it, seen it. Richie Incognito giving his critique of the Chip Kelly offense. I'll just go ahead and replay it for those of you who haven't heard it.
Chip Kelly's offense is not translating to the NFL. Mm-mm. It is a complete mess. We have a workhorse in Ashton Jeanty, need to feed him the ball. Mm-hmm. Everyone's saying, well, the offensive line is bad up front. Mm. To get the offensive line in the game, you have to run the ball. You have to go downhill at these guys. You have to dictate the tempo of the game. If you have guys backing up and you're dropping back 35, 40 times with Geno Smith, it's not going to work. And Chip, in his infinite wisdom, thinks that we cannot run the ball and still get play action to work. You were talking about it before. You have to threaten them a little bit with the run, yep, and get your play action going. We're running play action out of the shotgun. We're putting it in Geno's hands, and Geno is turning it over left and right. So I think Chip Kelly, his issue is he thinks he's smarter than everybody, and he's going to let you know that he's smarter than everybody. But in the NFL, there's a lot of smart guys, and there's a lot of great players. So this bullshit offense that he was running is not working. Nope. And Chip needs to look himself in the mirror and ask himself about the personnel decisions they've made, the offensive line that they've trotted out there.
Yep.
We have our right guard go down, a second-round pick, Jackson Powers Johnson, mm-hmm, and they're pulling him in and out of the lineup. Mm. He's our second-best offensive lineman next to Colton Miller. Mm. So a highly Oregon guy, yeah, right? Remington Award winner. This guy is the best center in the nation. Mm. He's a second-round pick. So let's put him at right guard and have him rotate with Alex Kappa, who is the worst pass-blocking guard in the NFL. Mm. Now Jackson Powers goes down. What are we going to do? We're going to start two undrafted free agents, Will Putnam and Jordan Meredith, undersized guys, and we're not going to play our third-round picks. We have two third-round studs that we've had. So I'll wrap this up. I think there's a lot of funk around the Raiders organization right now, and those fingers need to be pointed at Chip Kelly. Mm. That defense is good enough for them to win.
Well,
no run game, play action out of shotgun, running reverses and all this stuff. It's a mess.
I thought that was a great segment. I just wanted to share that with you guys. I really appreciate Incognito being so candid, someone so skilled at the position. He can spot problems from a mile away, and I thought it was really valuable to hear his comments. Okay, I'm going to play another segment here. This is from Yahoo Sports, a segment called How Did the Raiders Get This Bad? It's Andrew Siciliano, Charles Robinson, and Frank Schwab. Let's give it a listen.
The Raiders just looked awful. Talking to some Raider people after the game, people who have been around the team for a long, long time, said this is the worst team they could ever remember, and that is a massive, massive statement. Looking at that defense, Landon Roberts played a good game, and look, there are other pieces on that defense, but it's really Max Crosby and a bunch of journeymen on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary. Darian Porter is a nice third-round piece. But the offensive guys, it's Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeantine. You know, they can certainly play, and they're optimistic about Thornton and Bash. Colton Miller's hurt. JPJ is hurt. And they got to Geno Smith 10 times, and they could have sacked him 15 times. They really could have. But they only sacked him 10. And something had to give. And Frank, I'll start with you. Chip Kelly, I don't like to make it about money, but they gave him a nice paycheck to leave Ohio State. Whether it was Tom Brady, John Spytek, Mark Davis, or Pete Carroll's idea, doesn't matter. They fired him. And Chip Kelly is coming home to Manhattan Beach. And I don't know where the Raiders go now, because this is looking like a tear down. And you have a 74-year-old head coach.
Yeah. Really bad situation. Really, really bad situation. And I don't think this is all Chip Kelly's fault, but Chip Kelly didn't do anything to save his job either. And it just, it's such a mess. And I do have to point this out. I do want to point this out because I'll just say it. Nepotism is a big problem in NFL coaching. It is.
Thank like you. Yes.
You get so many percentage of coaches who just get a job based on who their dad is. Pete Carroll came on and two of his assistant coaches are his sons. The Raiders might have the worst. I'm sorry. Let me back up and restate that. The Raiders have the worst offensive line in football, and it's not even close. Like you said, Andrew, they gave up 10 sacks yesterday. It could have been 15. I feel bad for Geno Smith. Not that Geno Smith is covering himself in glory, but what do when you're playing behind the worst offensive line in football?
He got hit 20 times. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I was impressed, actually. You finished the game. The Raiders' offensive line coach, the worst offensive line in the NFL, is Brennan Carroll. That is Pete Carroll's son. He ain't lost his job, has he? Like, this is what Pete Carroll, like, go ahead, get your kids jobs. That's great. But if it doesn't work out and you end up having the worst offensive line in the NFL with your son coaching the offensive line, you should hear the criticism for it. And I think that he's just made a lot of missteps. And even though I like Pete Carroll, again, I talked last week, I think he's got a resume that could put him into Pro Football Hall of Fame, resume could put him into College Football Hall of Fame. He's had a great career, but there's no upside to running this back in 2026. He was brought in to immediately raise the competitive level of the Las Vegas Raiders. That, not that they were going to even get out of last place, but that's what the Raiders kept saying. Well, we need a culture, blah, blah, we need to take. That's, it's gotten so much worse. They were way better under Antonio Pierce. They were way better with our friend Josh McDaniels. Like, it has gotten so bad for the Raiders.
Oh man.
I think they're the worst team in football right now behind the Titans. And I don't see how Pete Carroll comes back. I just don't. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to bring back a 75-year-old coach after the season he's had.
This had to be the worst. I mean, for Frank to dap up the Josh McDaniels era of the Raiders means this is literally the worst thing. I mean, that is unbelievable. That is, I never expected that.
You know how bad it was, Charles. It's worse. It's worse.
Josh is fine. Josh is so far in the rearview mirror for him right now. He's like, thank God, I'm good. I'm all right. I'll put you with Drake May. But no, here, there's, what's really interesting about this that goes beyond just the immediate. I mean, look, you fired your special teams coordinator. You fired your offensive coordinator. Who the hell was building this staff in the first place? And by the way, Chip Kelly came out. He let the cat out of the bag a long time ago and said, when I sat for an interview, the guy who got me on board was Tom Brady. He basically said that Tom represented the ownership group in the interview. He pointed it at Tom Brady as being his guy that helped persuade him to end up taking this job with the Raiders. So not a great look for him to get fired. And it really have been described as sort of a Brady inspired move, which when he ended up on Pete Carroll's staff, people were like, what's the connection there? Wait a minute. What's the connection between Pete and Chip Kelly? People weren't making the natural, connector to him becoming Pete's offensive coordinator. And then after what Chip Kelly said, people were like, the connector was Tom. Like, he was just painted as a Tom guy. Then Geno Smith, obviously Geno Smith has the background that he has with Pete Carroll. There's no question about that. But it's been floated out there that Tom preferred Geno Smith over Sam Darnold. Also not great. So what now has transpired You have people through the league, particularly Patriots people, ex-Patriots people who have proliferated throughout the NFL, who still have relationships with Tom, who still keep an eye on what's going on with Tom, who are now asking, is everybody on the same page in that organization? And, you know, one of them I was talking to today said, look, man, I think Pete's on his page. I think Mark Davis is on his page. And I think Tom is on his page. And he said, and I don't think any of those three pages are together.
Wow, that really sounded encouraging. And I'm going to play one more segment here. This is NFL insider Tom Pelissero on the Rich Eisen Show. Says some very interesting things, I thought.
As you pointed out, you observed in one of your posts this week, Tom, that Pete Carroll's never fired an assistant in his entire career and has now done so twice in the span of 17 days, special teams and now offensive coordinator Chip Kelly is out. What is Tom Brady thinking? Because it's really what it comes down to. Let's be honest. Let's just boil it down. Like what how much was he influential in the decisions of these coaching staff that Pete is now changing middle of the season? And what decisions need to be made over the final, or needs to be seen over the next 6 weeks to potentially make more decisions in Vegas?
Well, let's rewind to last January.
Okay.
It had become apparent by the end of last season that Tom Brady's number one choice was Ben Johnson. That was the coach that he wanted. He had talked about him at times in certain ways, and people read into his comments on the broadcast. He had certainly spoken with him before games and things like that. Tom Brady is maybe not just the greatest, but the smartest quarterback to ever play the game. And the things that he saw Ben Johnson do were so next level in Detroit. That was the guy he wanted. And there was a bet of sorts made by the Raiders that it's Tom Brady. Who's going to say no to Tom Brady? So Tom was directly recruiting Ben Johnson and trying to convince him to come. The Raiders, I was told at the time, had a massive offer out to Ben Johnson. They wanted him to come in the building and go through a second interview, but it was pretty apparent if Ben wanted the job, it was Ben's job. Well, one day after the Lions season ends, he's on a plane to Chicago and he is taking the Bears job without even having to do an in-person interview. His performance against the Bears had kind of been his interview for a couple of years, but the Bears also made him a really strong offer. And I got the sense even at the time that there was no clear plan B. Not that they didn't have different thoughts in mind about who they might want to interview, but they interviewed, a variety of coaches from different backgrounds. They interviewed, Robert Saleh was somebody who had interviewed with them. They interviewed some other younger coaches. They interviewed some older coaches. Pete Carroll, philosophically, schematically, age, personality, has virtually nothing in common with Ben Johnson. And the point I'm making is, not only did you pivot in terms of the coach you hired, you completely pivoted in the way that you were trying to build it. From Ben Johnson, offensive guru, he's 39 years old or whatever, long-term answer to Pete Carroll, defensive coach in his 70s, was out last year, just wants to run the football, throw it when he needs to, and win with defense. It was totally different. Chip Kelly seemed like he was the bridge between the two, which was Chip had been regarded at his peak going back to Oregon and early on in Philadelphia as being somebody who was really, really smart with offense. But what you saw was once Chip didn't have the players who were better than everyone else, he had DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy early in Philly. He made the choices to get rid of them. All of a sudden, the Eagles' offense wasn't the same. He goes to San Francisco. That offense was not the same. He's out of the NFL. He goes back to college. Ohio State, what's the common denominator? Better athletes than everybody else had. I was at the week one game. The Raiders beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
That might be the weirdest result the entire NFL schedule.
No doubt.
When you rewind, it was kind of bumpy that day, but they made some plays. And it just seemed like from week two on, teams just kind of caught up with what the Raiders were doing. And there are all kinds of different stories, Rich, about just the dysfunction of the Raiders' offense. There were times I was told where Chip Kelly was repeatedly botching the play calls, where he's supposed to be, for instance, tagging a motion on a play so the receiver's on the left, not the right. He forgets to say it, so Geno Smith is going to the line of scrimmage and going, this doesn't look right, and they're trying to run a play. It happened on a third down in the game the other day. There's times where Chip, I was told on several occasions, called a play that was either not in the game plan or not installed at all. Things like that happen. You're not productive. That's enough. You didn't need any extra excuses.
Damn.
But there were a lot of things that were popping up within games that were just not anything that a good team can overcome. They didn't have enough talent. There's no doubt about it. Maybe my favorite stat of the entire season is there were only three players on the Raiders offense who were making more money than Chip Kelly. It was Geno Smith, Colton Miller, and Ashton Jeanty was making like 6.1. Chip was making $6 million a year. I can't think of another team that had a setup like that. It was always going to be a challenge for them offensively, but Chip's scheme was supposed to elevate it. And what you saw on the field made pretty obvious. There was kind of a level of chaos to it that just made it really, really hard for them to function.
It makes it hard to even imagine how you move forward. You know, like what next?
Okay, Raider fans, here we go. The bone line. 7755 Raider. 7755 Raider. Throw the nation a bone. Throw me a bone. Get on there and throw your bones. If you don't like your first recording, do it 2, 3, 5 times. I don't care. We'll pick out the best one. Don't be shy. How could you be shy? You're a Raider fan. No, we're all loud and proud. Get on the bone line because we got some guys shouting out right here. We got some great takes. And here they are from the nation to your station.
And our first caller is the food stamp Raider.
Oh, Raider Greg, Raider Randy. Just a food stamp Raider from Maryland. It's 24-3, 24-6, whatever. Who gives a shit? Thankful for the Raider Nation podcast. Don't let me forget Brother Prayers out there grinding. Hope we get some turkey. I'm thankful for this podcast, man. Because this is where you hear truth. Because everywhere else, you're hearing all this talk about patience. I don't want to hear about patience, man. The Patriots have come, gone, and they're back. Denver's come, gone, they're back. Teams rebuild, win games, lose, and then come back. And it's still the joke. And for all the people that hated Shador, he wouldn't be bad in a silver and black uniform with Membu at tackle, because Membu, I think, should have been the pick. Ashton Jeanty, to me, is not it without a line. And even if he had a line, he ain't winning nothing. I don't have no hope in this franchise. I'm just thankful for all the brothers and sisters who are suffering with me, with old man Pete and the cooking crew. And he needs some warm milk and a blanket. Because he is terrible. Sell the team, Mark Davis. He sold out the Raiders. The black hole is dead. The home field advantage is gone. It's Disneyland for the rest of the league. And nothing will change. Enjoy y'all turkey, folks. Food stamp Raider from Maryland. See y'all next year, I guess. I'm out.
Thank you, food stamp. We really appreciate your kind comments about the podcast. I think you might be right. Maybe we should have picked an O-lineman in the first round of the draft. Now, the idea about the warm milk and the blanket. Since I'm only a year and a half younger than Pete, maybe that's what I need to be a better podcast host. Maybe I better go get myself some warm milk and a blanket, see if that helps. Thanks for the suggestion, food stamp. Now, this next caller, I was really glad when I listened to the calls that had come in and I heard his voice. As soon as I heard the voice, I knew who it was, and he hasn't called in quite a while. None other than the Raider Disciple. And let me check my records here and see when the last time he called in was. January 14th, 2023. Almost 3 years. Show 614. Anyway, I'm glad to hear you're back, and I'm sure Greg will be too. Here he is, the Raider Disciple.
Raider Nation, Greg, Randy, and the Prez. This is the notorious Raider Disciple. Haven't called in a long time. Welcome back, Greg, to bust the mic. Good job, Prez, while he was gone holding it down. Randy, I hope everything's going good with you. Season's greetings to all the Raider Nation, to the Raider football team. God damn it, call the league office and just resign. Just don't even show up anymore, because you're out there wasting your time any damn way. Just quit. Pete Carroll, step down. Take your raggedy ass sons with you. Take Gino with you. Bullshit Kelly and the rest of that. Mark everybody. You lost to the Browns. So you're officially the worst team in football. Oh my God. Just when you get started, it couldn't get any worse. Anyways, man, this is Disciple. I'm out.
Well, that was short and maybe not sweet, but definitely accurate. Looking forward to hearing you calling in again. And our next caller is the Cheesehead Raider. What do you got to say, Cheesehead?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Wisconsin. And as I have said before, I try to wait to maybe the next day or something to think, or time period to get my thoughts together as I'm jumping and stammering around here. And then to see if anything happens with the team or whatever. We clearly all saw we got embarrassed, and I say embarrassed, by the Cleveland Browns. And the news, Chip Kelly's gone. Now, yes, I'm happy about that, but just Chip Kelly's just a fall guy. Pete Carroll doesn't have the stones to fire or bench either one of his sons, especially the one with the offensive line coach. I see a report that as Geno Smith is running off the field at the end of the game, he's flipping off fans. That's clearly not a good sign. Now, if you want to believe what the commentators say, they say, you know, they have meetings with the coaches and different, the head coach of different coaches. And the one commentator said that Pete Carroll said, in reference to starting the third round draft picks of offensive linemen, that his job is to win now and not to develop. That's concerning, because that means he sees things one way, and that's all he's going to do. It doesn't make a difference what result he gets. He's just going to keep on doing that. And in life, you have to pivot. You have to change. And if he is so out of touch that he can't or isn't willing to change for the benefit of the Raiders, that he just comes in there, this is my way, and that's all there is, then I would say the rest of that saying, hit the highway, Pete. It's done. You need to be out of there. You're switching offensive linemen around. When JPP was in there, you wouldn't do that same switch when he was there, when people were saying, this is what you need to do. That's sad. Gave up 10 sacks yesterday. 18 in three games. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our problem right there. I read a report where it said the Raiders are going to have $115 million in salary cap in the offseason. Now, of course, things are going to adjust. So if we go with that number right now, all you do is go and spend $50 million of that on a new offensive line, we win 7, 8, 9 games just by that. And then you draft a stud defensive tackle in the first round. There you go. Now, does that win us the Super Bowl? No. But at least we're making the playoffs. It's not that hard. Cheesehead Raider, I'm out.
Well, obviously, we need to hire Cheesehead Raider as our new GM. Hey, Greg, how do you think I'm doing so far on this show?
That's a bunch of bullshit.
Thank you, Greg. And our next caller is Reuben from North Carolina.
Well, well, well. Good morning, Raider Nation, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, the Prez. This is Reuben from North Carolina calling in. And it looks like one of the chips that this team was built on this year is no longer part of the team. That chip is Chip Kelly.
Boo, Chip.
Thank God, thank goodness. Good riddance. It was long overdue. Guy should never been hired. He has a proven track record. He's more of a college guy than he is a pro guy. Who knows? Maybe it was him. He was more at fault, or maybe he wasn't more at fault. But we all know that he's just being a scapegoat, and who knows? He's probably already got a job lined up in college with some of the openings that are coming up, especially like in Virginia Tech, where Ben Franklin's the new head coach there, who possibly he'll hire Chip Kelly to be his offensive coordinator. But we'll see what happens now. A few more weeks left for the season's over with. Maybe Brendan Carroll, our offensive line coach, is next. And who knows, maybe Pete Carroll will be next. But, there seems to be some people falling on the sword for this coach. First it was the special teams coach, and now our offensive coordinator. Let's see who else is on the chopping block next. There's no telling. Never know. It might be Patrick Graham. But we'll see. Some news to wake up to, and I hope everybody has a good day and a good holiday. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting topic, Ruben. Should Pete get fired, or does he deserve another year? What's our long-term plan? Eventually, I'd like to see a younger coach get in there that could be there for years and years. If Pete stays, who's going to replace him? I'm starting to lean towards start fresh, find a young up-and-comer. What do you guys think? Call into the Bone Line. Give us your opinion. Where should the Raiders go from here? And our next caller, one of my all-time favorites, Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. Give us your take, Sid.
What up, Raider Randy, Raider Greg, the Prez, Raider Nation. This is Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. Well, that didn't take long. Chip Kelly is out. You know what? When you're a piece of shit at your job, you need to get fired. He got fired. So, special teams coach is gone. OC is gone. The next one to go has got to be Brendan Carroll. He's garbage. His offensive line is the core of all of our problems, but I don't think he's going to be going anywhere because his dad's the fucking coach. So we'll see what happens there. Let's move on to the Chargers. So, you know what? I'm not going to root against the Raiders. It's not going to happen. I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to be rooting full on for the fucking Raiders. I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to be all Raidered out, and it's all about Raider Nation. We're probably going to get our ass kicked, which pisses me off, but I'm still rooting for the Raiders. Let's beat the shit out of the fucking Bolts, all right? For once, let's go out there and kick some fucking ass. All right, Raider Nation, this is Raider Sid. I'm out of here.
Right on, Sid. Send me a picture of you going in there all raidered out. I want to see that. How am I doing, Greg?
I love it!
And I think whenever any Raider fan talks about wanting us to lose so we'll get a better draft pick, I know on game day, there's no way they're sitting there hoping for the Raiders to lose. When they see the Raiders drop back to throw a pass, they're not saying, please have this pass be intercepted. There's no way. Everyone's rooting for the Raiders to win. When the game's over, if it turns out we did lose, it's like a consolation prize thinking about possibly getting a better draft pick, but you're sure not going to be rooting for that to happen during the game. No way. So let's move on to our next caller. It is Alfonso from Mexico City. Our faithful international caller, we really appreciate hearing from you whenever you call in, Alfonso. What do you got to say?
Hey, Raider Greg, Raider Randy. Here is Alfonso from Mexico. I just want to say that these Raiders are aren't actually a football team anymore. By moving the team there, I think the owner no longer needs to invest in the team, because the opposing team's fans fly in and buy out all the tickets. In fact, from his standpoint, it makes sense to spend the least amount of money possible from this moment forward. And everyone in Raider Nation, also you, have pointed out this. We don't want to see it, but that's the reality. They will always sell out the games because people want to fly to Vegas to watch their team win. As you can see, yesterday, even Cleveland fans were over there. So I can imagine it happened the same thing in Oakland. So anyways, it's a tough break for anyone of the Raider Nation, but how it's that how it's going on. I hope that the team gets well, because, you know, the Las Vegas County and all the Las Vegas and Nevada State don't allow this, because, you know, they are seeing the move. I mean, there are some politicians over there that are questioning that the administration is not working with the Raiders. So anyway, I wish all the Raider Nation happy Thanksgiving and blessings for everyone. And also, I hope your wife is doing well. And my blessings to you and to all your family. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Alfonso. The thing you brought up about visiting fans flying into Las Vegas and buying out the tickets, I think a lot of people don't realize that the Allegiant Stadium was sold out almost 2 years before they finished building it, completely sold out to season ticket holders. So pretty much every seat in the stadium is owned by season ticket holders who purchased their tickets before 2020. So the only way visiting fans can buy those seats is if existing season ticket holders put their seats up for sale on Ticketmaster or StubHub or whatever. The problem is, a lot of those people that own those personal seat licenses they're either not Raiders fans, they just bought the PSLs as an investment, or maybe they are Raiders fans and they just realized, especially for certain games like the Cowboys game that just went past, they realized they could get big money by selling their tickets. So when the Raiders are doing poorly like they are, they'd rather cash in and get way more than what they paid for their seats than to go to the game themselves. My wife and I were season ticket holders there. We bought our seats the fourth day that they went on sale, a couple of years before the stadium was built. And we met a couple that told us they own personal seat licenses there, and they live in, I forget what state, Missouri or somewhere. They aren't Raiders fans. Well, they are kind of Raiders fans. They like going to Las Vegas. They fly to some of the games. They root for the Raiders, but most of the games they sell the tickets. I don't know how many season ticket holders there are like that, but I think if the team ever starts doing well, I think people hopefully would rather go to the game than sell their tickets. We can only hope. And our next caller is Maddie Raider from Albany, New York. Greg and I met Maddie back at the Oakland Coliseum one game when we used to do videos there. You can probably find the video that we did with Maddie if you go to YouTube. Go to the Raider Nation podcast YouTube page, type in Maddie Raider, and I'll bet you can find it. The funny thing about that video, we had a cordless microphone that we used to use, and I forgot to put a good battery in it, and the battery went dead right in the middle of the interview.
And we didn't even realize at first that the battery had gone dead, but luckily I realized it before the interview was over with. We had to start all over again using the microphone on the camcorder itself. So the audio wasn't very good, but it was kind of funny. Anyway, what do you got to say, Maddie?
Completely unwatchable football. What's up, guys? Maddie Rader, Albany, New York. Hey, I switched the game off the second half yesterday. It's garbage. Watching our team is garbage. These guys are just, they're the worst team in football, hands down. They're completely unwatchable. There's absolutely no, they're not in sync anywhere on the field. Special teams, defense, doesn't matter. I saw today that they fired Chip Kelly. Who cares? He's just a scapegoat. The real problem starts in the front office and at the head coach, and those guys are still there, so we still have a problem. The offensive line is a huge problem. Pete Carroll's son is in charge of the offensive line. I don't see him going anywhere. I guess they also fired the senior offensive staff person who's Chip Kelly's buddy or partner or whatever. Who cares? You guys are atrocious. It's just pathetic to watch. It's nauseating to watch. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. I'm listening to the podcast now because I couldn't even listen to it before the game. I just didn't want to listen to it. I thoroughly love your take, Greg. How much would I wish for Derek Carr right now? You have no idea. And everybody wanting to get him out. Steady quarterback play. Dude, are you kidding me? This team. Geno Smith is he's the worst, dude. He's the worst. I never want to see his stupid face again. Flipping off the fans on his way out yesterday. He's garbage. Get him out of here with his. Listen, dude, here's another thing about Pete Carroll. Pete the Cheat is what I used to call this guy because he was dirty at USC. And it's funny, I'm listening to the podcast now, and it's talking about him talking fast and talking, in hushed tones as he's doing, you know, as he's going over everything with the game or whatever. Bro is a used car salesman. He's like the guy who's trying to sell you clear coat for your car, trying to sell you the extended warranty. Get this guy out of here, dude. Blow it all up again. Keep about four players. Everybody else is for sale. I can't stand watching this team.
Wow, Maddie. That's pretty funny. The salesman, the car salesman, talking you into buying the clear coat. You know, that hits home with me. Because the one new car I bought in my life, the guy did talk me into buying the clear coat. The next day I was thinking, why did I let that guy talk me into buying that clear coat for, I think it was over $1,000 extra. Ugh, you bring back bad memories now. Anyway, let's move on to our next caller. Tracy in New Jersey.
Hey, what's going on? Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Prez. This is Raider Tracy calling from New Jersey. And what a mess. Oh, my gosh. I didn't get to watch the game against the Browns, unfortunately. But I did listen to it, and I watched a couple of the highlights. Flash lowlights. It was like Groundhog Day. I mean, like, what a mess. There's nothing really much to say in terms of, like, the players. The defense, to me, I think they just get worn out, worn down. The secondary is awful. I'm not saying anything that, you know, anything new. The O-line is terrible. But, like, didn't these toots see this, like, before the season, you know, before bringing in Spytek? Wasn't this, like, a known fact? I'm just really wondering, like, what the higher-ups, do they care anything about the fan? Like, I've been a Raiders fan since, like, I was a little girl, and I just don't get how we've fallen so far. Like I said, I'm just going to, like, watch comeback comeback games that the Derek Carr has, they were just, you know, go back and watch some of the glory days. This is terrible. It's very hard to watch. Definitely, you know, love my team, but it's, you know, the Mark Davis has got to start doing something different, or Pete Carroll, or whoever they bring in. Chip Kelly's been fired. So wow. Greg Olson is in. Wowee. It's like nothing to be thrilled about. So sorry, I feel like this is such a, I have no words. I can't even say anything. I'm thankful for the podcast. Love this. Love you guys. Love the takes. So I'm hoping that there are a lot of calls to come through. So Raider Nation, in spite of the team, in spite of the record, have a great holiday. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. And peace out. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. Take care.
Wow, Tracy, you talking about being a little girl when you first became a Raiders fan brings back memories of when I first started going to Raiders games around 73, 74. They were still several years away from their first Super Bowl win. So I watched that Super Bowl on TV, and I think it was the next day, I heard some woman on the radio saying that the Raiders plane was getting ready to touch down at the Oakland airport. There was a group of fans forming outside the airport. So I thought, shoot, I'm going down there. So I drove straight to the airport, parked my car, walked up to the terminal, saw a group of about maybe 40 people standing there. So I just got up in there with the group, and then just a couple minutes later, Raiders players started walking out of the terminal. Everybody's cheering. Then a few years later in 1980, I got my first season tickets, and that was the year they won their second Super Bowl. I had my season tickets for 2 years. Then they moved to LA. First year they're in LA, they win their third Super Bowl. So now, 42 years later, I'm still waiting for their fourth Super Bowl. As I get older, I start thinking, am I going to see another Super Bowl win before I die? Then you get a little bit older, I start thinking, am I even going to see them make the playoffs before I die?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Our next caller, our last caller, is Nebraska Raider. Greg and I met Nebraska Raider when we were in Kansas City for a game back, shoot, I don't even remember what year it was, maybe 2011, somewhere around there, 2009. Turned out we were staying in the same hotel Nebraska Raider was staying in. What's up, Brandon?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Nebraska Raider calling in after another loss. That's unfortunate. But you know what I'm going to say? When you're 2-8? 2-9 now. I'm going to switch over into my Schwarzenegger voice. Come on! What are you waiting for? Get to the chopper now! Go! Now! There's a bunch of sissy girls out here on the defense. I mean, come on! The offensive line, I mean, you're like a bunch of choir boys compared to me. Oh! I mean, come on! You have to get to the chopper! I don't know where the chopper is, but it certainly isn't in this season. But I hope that was something for some people to laugh at. I mean, come on, you know, you have to pump the iron. I think we're all delusional at this point. We pretty much know where the season is going. So, you know, never been one to say this, but lose out, except for the last game of the season. I'd like to take take it to Kermit. But, I mean, come on. What are you waiting for? Do it. Do it now. Come on. All right. Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. That's pretty much all I have to say. Offensive line sucks. Our secondary sucks. And I'm glad we got rid of Bo Chip Kelly. I don't know. That was supposed to be so right, but it was so wrong. But, you know, hey, sometimes you date a girl and you thought it was so right and it turns out so wrong. So, God bless, guys. And go Raider Nation. Just win, baby. God bless. This is Nebraska Raider, and I am out.
Okay, now I'm thinking I should have just contacted Nebraska Raider and had him do this whole podcast using Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice. It would have been a lot better than the job I've done on this thing. Anyway, we've got the Chargers coming up in L.A. this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing Raider Sid's picture going in there all raidered out. I'll be rooting for the Raiders to win. If they don't, we get the consolation prize. But you know I'm going to be rooting for the win during the game. We'll have Greg back next week, and hopefully I'll never have to talk on this thing again. Thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, and we'll see you on the next show.